This is a production of Cornell University.
The meeting will come to order. This is the first meeting of the spring 2012 semester of the GPSA. It is 5:34 p.m. Welcome back from break, everybody. If you're still getting food, keep getting food. There are extra copies of agendas and resolutions there. They're not all gone. Oh, looks like they might be all gone. There is a attendance sign-in if you haven't yet had a chance. Green placards, blue placards, so on and so forth. Am I missing anything? I don't think so. We have a fairly relaxed agenda in comparison to some of our meetings at the end of the semester, so that should be a nice change of pace. A slight change from what you saw that was emailed out. We have a little extra time at the end, so we'll end with a breakout session. Nice and relaxed, that way we don't all have to come back for a meeting. There will be like a sort of recording secretary for each group who will take notes and then send them out to the mailing list. We begin with a roll call of the voting members. Randa Adra, absent. Kyle Albert,
here.
Present. Brian Alkemeyer,
here.
Stephen Ahn,
here.
Nicole Baran,
here.
YJ Chen,
here.
John Chechelevsky, Evan Cortens here. Andrew Elliott, absent. Carl Furkenhoff,
here.
Marquise Hawkins,
here.
Yevgeny Israelit,
here.
James Keach,
here.
Allison Nash,
here.
Rebecca Robbins,
here.
Eric Smith emailed to say he couldn't make it. Mia Tutel,
here.
Michelle White, absent. Crystal Wilson. We'll need to find a new recording secretary for our breakout group, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We begin with approval of the minutes from November 28th. Are there any corrections? Did everybody get the minutes in advance? Corrections to the minutes from November 28th? Seeing none, is there any objection to the approval of the minutes from November 28th? Seeing none without objection, the minutes are approved. I'm having fun. Reports of officers and committee updates. First is the executive committee. I think that anything we have to report will come out in the course of the meeting. There have been some developments with Slope Day. Chris here? Chris is here. I imagine Chris will talk about that in the next bulletin point. The big thing for us, and I hope that we'll talk about this in our breakout session, is just to emphasize again that as opposed to last semester, this semester is a little more open. We've really got a chance to deal with, I think, some big issues. We've got 7 meetings, so if there is something you'd like to take on, something that you're interested in, something you want to find more about, the executive committee is interested to hear from you. Nicole, Marquise? Nothing. Wonderful. Appropriations, Chris.
All right. So I promised I would report back to you guys as quickly as possible on the smoke aid developments, and I'm sorry I didn't do that prior to break. And there's a reason, but prior to break, Evan and I received an email from the smoke aid programming board representatives saying that they were going to turn down the funding offer that we were giving them, and they get granted to the After that happened, there was a discussion among the preparation committee members and the executive committee members on how we would like to respond to this. Evan responded to his email. It was very nicely worded, basically asking them to reconsider their decision. I don't want to go through all the details unless anyone here wants me to, and try to explore them for you, but essentially what it's down to right now, after meeting with the Slope Day Program Board and executive members, and that board. They are considering working on a deal with us to work out a sort of discounted admission structure by accepting our money and looking at. This is something that we need to come to the GPSA voting members to see whether they actually want to do this or not. We gave a money offer of $4.50, which is a modest, or sorry, $3.50, which is a modest increase over what was before 15% or something like this. And me and Bob, that guy, that possibly that did, but now we do have another potentially bargaining point. So these talks are ongoing, and how we're going to respond to this is still very much in development, but we are working on some concrete responses. Namely, it could be, you know, some talking to other people, getting better counsel, to perhaps discussing with voting members what we do next in terms of whether we actually want to pursue a huge pricing structure that might not work, so that we're going to get money with some free options. So this is developing, and it's very dramatic. I want to take questions on it, but I don't want to take up all the meeting time, so I need to back the chair whether there's questions at this point.
Are there any questions? Maybe one or two, if there are any. So basically what happens here is that we go through a normal process of revising what we call Appendix A of the byline criteria, which is a set of obligations for all of the groups that receive money. Chris and I or some other negotiating team of some kind will put together a line that goes in there that says something. It would either say Slope Day will continue to give free admission, or it will say Slope Day may not charge more than X dollars. The voting membership then has the option to accept or reject that as it stands, and then of course whatever happens there, the Slope Day Executive Board then has the option to accept or reject. So we basically have three possibilities. We have status quo, so we continue to get free admission with the $350. We have that they charge us money, but they give us a discount over the alumni rate of $25, or they turn it all down entirely. We give them no money up front, and they charge us whatever they want. All three options are still on the table.
I'm happy to discuss what happened in the meetings, or points that they made, points that we made, anything else.
Creston?
I know this is not what you made, but I'm interested in the structure of
this. Do what? Sorry. I should clarify. So the activity fee has been approved at $81 by the Board of Trustees. So that's official. The Board of Trustees, in my understanding, and if someone knows different, please correct me, isn't so concerned with the individual line-by-line breakdown. They're just concerned with that overall dollar amount. So what would happen, again, as I understand it, and no one has told me different, and I've, you know, emailed the resolution to President Scorton where it lays this out, and I would hope that he would correct me if I was wrong. If they turn down the funding, now that the 81 is approved, that full amount will just be reallocated to the GPSAFC for the next two fiscal years. But the total activity fee will remain $81 regardless of the outcome. Any other questions? Evgeny? I can't alt-tab out of this, but we have to, it requires two meetings to approve the changes because they're treated like charter changes. So they'll be introduced at the meeting before we elect new people, so that's the last meeting in March, and then they will be approved, hopefully, at the first meeting in April. That's like April 4th or thereabouts. So we've got some time.
Willie.
Numbers have been thrown around, but they've been thrown around by me.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I don't know how many responded to that. I told them that between $5
yeah.
or so would probably be, as far as I feel like, the spot, maybe $10 at maximum, somewhere around there. But I don't know whether they think that is acceptable or objectionable or anything. But that was just an initial cut response to them.
Elizabeth?
$25. Okay. Independent of what the rate is, there would be a ticketing process, and then you would have to register the tickets and the tickets and stuff. If it's easier or not, will that be there? Is my understanding. We would have to go through that process. I don't believe there would be any exception, but then again, we're such a large population.
Unless there are any other burning questions, Brian?
Does anyone in administration have to approve their decision if they did grad student?
I hear the term administration a lot, like there's some will behind it. But I understand there are individual administrators, and I don't know whether they actually have to approve or disapprove anything like this by their bylaws or anything. My understanding is that they do not, that they've been given the right to say who can go and who can't and how much to take it, whether they want to get it, which makes sense based on how things are delegated to the university. However, the event exists by virtue of the administrators allowing it to exist in its present form. So there might be some oversight that I'm not aware of. I don't, do not believe that it's sufficient.
I think what I would say is the Slope Day Programming Board is a student organization, just like the GPSA is for that matter. They have an advisor, Joe Scafido, who's in the Dean of Students office. The Dean of Students is Kent Hubble, which is in Student and Academic Services. That's Vice President Susan Murphy, and then of course she reports to the President. So I would say that anywhere along that chain, somebody can say, no, we're rejecting this. But the process, I don't think, works the other way around. They don't have to get permission, but a decision could be overruled up the chain of command. This might be, we'll fast forward to our breakout session thing, which isn't on this slide. This could be a good question for Susan Murphy when she comes to visit us in 2 weeks. And unless there's anything else burning, we'll move on to Steve on in communications. Steve.
Thank you. So I guess the most interesting development for communications this year is that we recently got approved to have access to all, is it graduate professional or just graduate students?
Graduate professional.
So all graduate professional students for Saul, Evan, and the executive committee, so I can't take much credit for that. So basically this means that once a month, GPSA Buzz is going to be going out to all graduate professional students, regardless of whether or not they signed up for the newsletter originally. You can, of course, opt out of this list, but it is a big deal that it's an opt-out instead of an opt-in list. And then every other week, we'll just have the normal list of names that we've gathered on our own for that newsletter. But, I think this makes GPSA Buzz a much more of a big deal in terms of getting the word out. So if you have any stuff you want me to put in it, just send it directly to me as soon as possible. The first issue we'll try to put out next Friday. That's so a little more than 12 or so days, and we'll take it from here. Exciting news.
Any questions for Steve?
I just wanted to say that when I start, Crest and I think we might be the longest having been in the GPSA in this room. And when we started like 4.5 years ago in the GPSA, it was identified as like a perennial issue, the graduate student assembly not being able to connect with all graduate students by email. And so, Steve presented in a docile tone, but I think this is, we can't underestimate the value of this for actually being able to reach out and make the GPSA better known.
Thanks. Chris?
So, being that we have an maximum 1 email sent a month, has there been any discussion of whether we want to make that like a periodic, if there will be one email a month, or rather maybe like an announcement when it needs to, like something happens that should be brought to attention for any students? I'm concerned about whether it's a newsletter, and I'm guessing people can now opt out of this newsletter if they need to, then it might be something that people choose to opt out of simply because it is a newsletter. They won't read it, whereas it's an email, so they're willing, it's important to send an email to everybody, something that doesn't happen normally. So I was wondering whether there's any discussion about the format or whether the party that whether we send one periodic.
Well, I think what we're allowed to do is send a periodic newsletter. The exact format is kind of up to us. Right now, I'm basically going on the convention that we're just going to basically keep doing what we've been doing with GPSA Buzz last semester. And then it's just that every other issue is going to be sent out to everyone. So we'll keep that in mind, and we'll keep the timing of that. But in terms of format, if you have ideas for the format, we'd rather hear them.
Other thoughts? Seeing none, we move now to the Finance Commission. Mia.
Hello. So you heard from me for quite a bit of last semester about dwindling funds and lots of applications and all the problems that that brought. And so Evan and I had a conversation back in December after our last meeting with the Office Assembly about fitting into the reserve amount that was available to the GCSAFC and using some of that money to supplement our funds for this year. Because at that point, we had about, well, I think it was about 11,000 left, and I was anticipating a lot of applications to the December round of funding, which is meant to be the last for this year. And it just seems such a shame when we are having so many great applications from your organisations and other graduate organisations for really great events to just have to turn down people and say, no, you know, these things can't happen. So we managed to, the reserve amount was $50,000, and we managed to get a grant of $30,000 of that to supplement our funds, which meant that we were able to approve quite a few good applications in December, go back and re-review some of the applications we had to turn down earlier in the semester. And so we ended up, and we still have some more applications to look through that we had previously turned down, which we want to come back to. So we ended up allocating $19,603.34 in December. And with the extra $30,000, that means that currently in the pot for the rest of the year, we have $23,680.32. So that means that we've added in an additional funding cycle of the February. So that deadline, which you've got an email about this, is next week, Friday the 3rd, usual 4 p.m. deadline for FDRs, any more late annual budgets, or any more at this stage, and any appeals. So we're anticipating that quite a few people will still be wanting money, and like I said, we're going to review some applications. So we think we'll probably be able to use up to $23K when we meet in a couple of Tuesdays' time on Tuesday the 7th of February. However, if, you know, for some reason we don't get many applications, we have still money left, then we'll extend the funding deadline to have an extra funding cycle as well as the one. But at the moment, I'd say, you know, work on the assumption that the deadline at the end of next week will be the last one for the year. And in terms of the future and trying to stop, you know, this problem from occurring again, I'm talking to my team and other people about other ways that we can maybe review some of the money when April comes, so we don't end up just having quite such a large amount allocated the annual budgets that are reviewed in April, and then not having much left for the following year. So we are looking into things such as that. So yeah, come teach me if you have any questions about that.
It might also be worth mentioning, those of you who are in officer positions for registered student organizations, you received an email this past week about some changes in the Office of Assemblies. So it used to be that there was one person in the Office of Assemblies for SAFC and one person for GPSAFC. What's happened is that one of those people, Terry, is now in the Dean of Students, working in the sort of resource center on the front lines to help student organizations with questions that they have, make sure the paperwork is filled out, so on and so forth. And Michelle Vandebogart, who was the GPSAFC person, is now working in Balch Hall under in the sort of financial area, doing back-end processing. So in theory, and I've read the proposal, and I think it's wonderful, it should make for a much more streamlined process for all student organizations to deal with things like reimbursements and funding guidelines and so on and so forth. It means that there's a clear point person to deal with. Ari's not correcting me, so I assume that means I've paraphrased it correctly. Questions for Mia?
Where did the money come from? Was it reserve funding? Was it within the GPSAFC money, or was it my money that you took?
I think I.
This was basically, it was a GPSAFC amount that has been held back for the last few years since they instigated the reserve. I can't remember exactly how many years ago, but a few years ago, they put in a reserve amount for the GPSAFC and a separate amount for the FAFC. So those two amounts are completely separate. So we won't have the undergrads coming and sort of threatening us taking their money. This is our reserve that's there, which we decided the office assembly was completely supportive of us dipping into that. And we still have 20,000 left in reserve, which is still quite a large amount, should the need arise to dip into that.
I think it's fair to say that the reserve has never been used for anything in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're compromising our financial stability or anything. Other questions? Seeing none, student advocacy, Rebecca, who has a creative slide.
So last semester we had a really successful event on December 9th called Dine and Discuss. With the really kind and generous funding from the grad school, we were able to cater a meal for 75 students and administrators. So that was folks from Gannett, and then as well as members from all of our cohorts. And then we also had someone at every table stationed with a pen and pencil, transcribing notes. So our committee right now is tasked with kind of the qualitative analysis and coding of that data to understand what the challenges our community is facing. So that's our first order of business for the advocacy committee. And then the next, we want to do that, so look at that, and then just one more. So the next line of work is to figure out another issue to target. So I'll probably next time maybe pull you guys or hand out a survey, but just food for thought. If you want to shoot me an email, I'm always happy to engage in a dialogue.
Questions for Rebecca? Seeing none, thank you, Rebecca. We'll move now to the programming board. Why'd you?
Okay, so upcoming events, mark your calendars. Next Thursday, first grad semester at level B, usual time at 9 p.m., there's going to be some drink specials to dry out so we're done. And then the week after that, we'll have our first municipal winter semester at the Great Barn as usual. Rules are as usual. Please come out, it's going to be a good time. And then 2 days after that, the Big Red Barn is having its 20th birthday, or during early February, the Big Red Barn is having its 20th birthday as a graduate student center, and the programming board is going to help throw a party on Friday, February 10th, and it's going to be 90s themed, so it will be all reminiscent of your childhood, food, the decorations, the music, so mark that day, be sure to attend. And of course, our most anticipated event of the year is marked for April 27th, and it's going to be somewhere new this year at Lake Washington in Atlanta. And we, of course, welcome people who are enthusiastic about planning this big event to join the programming board and help us out. For those of you who have not heard of grad ball or attended grad ball, it's basically a formal or semi-formal where grad students get together. It's basically the graduate student version of prom in a way. And we have some catered food, drinks, and everybody dresses up and dances and mingles. It's usually a nice party. So if you're interested in helping us with planning grad ball, we could use that if you have your hands.
Okay, I'm just trying to point out the stream.
The stream was not available at the day you preferred. And we decided that it might be interesting to try it on campus, just for novelty.
I think also I heard that the Straits floors are being renovated in the memorial room, so the room is shut down through March at least, maybe even through April. They don't know for sure. Pardon? Yeah.
But there's actually a lot of logistical challenges in dealing with on-campus events of this scale, including really annoying rules about graduate students needing chaperones to drink, which is kind of a really annoying feature of the Cornell director, to be honest. So, a whole host of factors. It's a reasonable decision.
Any other questions? Seeing none, that concludes our reports section. I've missed anybody, have I? People who feel like giving liaison updates or trustee updates or anything?
I guess, I mean, from the board of trustees, approved the tuition rates for next year. Graduate students working on research degrees, not that many of them pay those tuition rates as a percentage, but it, the rates have gone up 0%. paying whatever you paid or didn't pay.
I hear the activity fee went up, though.
Yeah. Activity fee went up 6.6%. And, yeah, I guess that's, unless there's any other questions about...
What's undergraduate for?
What's the undergraduate?
They go up.
It went up for the endowed colleges, it went up like 4.5%, and the contract colleges went up like 7.7%. It's the same dollar amount in both instances because of the problems we've been having with state funding and anticipate to have with state funding. We're unable to keep the contract raise, contract college raise any lower.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none. Chris, did you want to say anything about faculty senate or that?
Well, I'm being replaced on the
health
committee by Adam, so if you have any general committee questions, pop ahead. Faculty senate calendar committee is still going strong. We just met this morning. We're having like a recommendation for all the assemblies by 2 weeks from now. And that'll be something that we, I mean, it has similar principles that we discussed before, but same like it's going to be probably a full day on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, taking that off. And there are switches in spring semester that will be happening potentially.
None of it will take effect.
I'm showing you all that, but I can't talk to you.
It won't take effect for like 5 years anyway. I don't agree with you. I'm just saying don't start booking your flights home for Thanksgiving 2012 just yet.
Everyone did anyway, so this is just one last thing.
University Assembly is our only other one. I don't know. Kyle, if you have anything to say. Perhaps the biggest thing I think on the University Assembly front is the Codes and Judicial Committee is dealing with some rather complicated stuff surrounding the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights, talking about the compliance of our campus code with the federal law Title IX, which is the law that guarantees equal participation regardless of gender. That's usually referred to, we usually think of that in the context of sports. Which of course it has affected dramatically. The women's participation in sports is up like 800% since Title IX was passed. But in this case, they're talking about sexual harassment and sexual violence, which, as you might imagine, can affect your ability to increase, to participate fully in school. So that's where the jurisdiction is. Anyway, the Codes and Judicial Committee continues to be involved on that. We have two reps, one of which is Yevgeny. Or, of course, I'm on the UA if you're interested in that. Nothing else from me. Seeing no further comments, we move now into new business. We have two resolutions on the docket, both written by me. So, the first resolution is Resolution 8, which is a resolution forming an ad hoc Olin Speaker Selection Committee. So many of you are familiar with the Olin Lecturer, I imagine. Our most recent Olin Lecturer was Kwame Anthony Appiah back in September. Renowned philosopher came and spoke in the Statler. There have been other big names in the past. In the past, if you were allowed to smoke on campus, this would be one of those smoke-filled room sorts of things. So the grad school wrote to the GPSA executive and said, you know, we'd like to get a little more student involvement in this process. We'd like you to participate in the selection of the lecturer, which is, of course, held by the grad school and for the students and campus community. So I proposed that we form a committee of whatever size. A minimum of three people would be nice, but bigger if they're more interested. A couple people have already expressed interest to me. The resolution lays out the selection criteria. I didn't write these criteria. These are from the grad school themselves. And it's worth noting a couple of key points. One is that They didn't. The grad school was concerned that this would appear like a popularity contest. So the committee is free to devise the manner in which it solicits nominations. But when it comes down to narrowing who the speaker might be, the grad school doesn't want the appearance that there are like winners and losers, that it's going to appear in the Sun that second place was so-and-so and that, you know, then gets back to them somehow. So the decision process would have to be confidential in some manner. Of course, we figure that out. And the other thing, what was I going to say? Confidential. I can't remember what the other thing was. Oh, right. The grad school, not that they are setting out with the idea of overruling input from the graduate student community, but that they're not bound by what we suggest. If we say we'd like so-and-so and it then turns out that they're not available or for whatever reason that's not possible, they can choose someone else. With that, that's all I have to say. We're now in formal debate on Resolution 8. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in favor of or against the resolution? Controversial stuff, I know, folks. Is there anybody who would like to be involved in this committee? I need some hands. Aaron has already expressed interest. I can't run all the committees. I'm kidding. I know, you work very hard. I know, I'm kidding. Anyway, it would be great to get some interested folks. Patrick, question?
Just a comment, last question. So I'm supportive of this idea. My only concern, though, is the criteria. And I'm just wondering if maybe the resolution could read something along the lines of that the committee will be formed to create a, and will, part of their charter will be to create the criteria, as opposed to, because, for example, interest in a number of disciplines in order to facilitate discussion. Okay, well, what quantifies as a number of disciplines?
Right.
Why do they technically have to have a PhD or a highest degree?
Right.
So just things like that. So maybe and it would allow the committee to come up with a very group effort type
I agree with you 100%. The issue here is that it's not our speaker, it's not our money, and we don't get to make the final decision. These are criteria that are quite literally copied and pasted directly from the grad school. So I didn't write these criteria. They come directly from the dean's office. So that being said, they certainly don't want to stifle anything. I mean, if somebody seems like they would be a great Olin lecturer and they don't have a PhD or highest degree, whatever that means, but they're someone who seems appropriate for this kind of role, given what the purpose is, I imagine the graduate school is open to discussion about that.
Okay.
But the criteria as it stands, I would say, are unamendable.
Okay.
Apologies. Other thoughts?
Yeah.
Bill?
I was wondering, currently that the speaker and what are their thoughts about us
participating? Well, it's the graduate school that currently picks the speaker.
Yeah,
and
specifically, one person.
I actually don't know the answer to that, but I know that ultimately it's the graduate school that picks the speaker. I don't know what their current process is, but it was the grad school itself that asked us to form this committee. So that we're certainly not stepping on anyone's toes. Other thoughts? Brian?
I wonder if we should make it clearer that we're not resolving to create these criteria. I wonder if they should be more obviously identified as derived from somewhere else. And similarly, above where the footnote is.
Yeah.
This sounds like a sort of basic, but I don't mean it that way. I think we should choose a different source besides the news story if there's a better source for what the award is.
I'm with you.
If we quote what the award is.
If
I just don't want it to appear that we're creating something new if we're just taking a new role in the selection process for an already existing thing.
I agree with you 100% about the language. I copied and pasted that from the this website. As I tell my freshman writing students, I didn't want to copy and paste without attribution. I couldn't find another source that spelled it out as well as this, but I'd love if there were. I looked over the grad school website. I couldn't find anything. Are there any language suggestions you would make to deal with your other 2 points?
Quotation marks, I guess. And then at line 12, say that the selection criteria as established by the graduate school or whatever group.
Something like this was, quote, established at Cornell in 1986?
Yeah, that looks good. And then line 12, maybe something like that the selection criteria previously established by whatever group.
There's an amendment.
The alternative to that would be to delete all of that material, since it's not already.
The advantage of having it here is that it's in a public, written down spot, and we have a record of it. As you'll see in the final resolve clause, we don't have the ability to form ad hoc committees that last over the session, but the idea is that we'd then form much the same committee. They would be able to go to this resolution and simply, again, pull it back into a new resolution, tweak whatever language they wanted, and reuse this criteria.
Change it to a whereas clause.
Change which to a whereas clause?
The line 12 resolve clause. I think it should become a whereas clause. Whereas the selection criteria established by the grad school are as follows. So it should come before, I think it should come before that and be a whereas clause.
Sorry.
And then you can eliminate the that in line 11.
So, there's an amendment on the floor offered by Brian. Is there a second to the amendment? Seconded by Carl. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment passes. So we continue formal debate on Resolution 8 as amended. Unless there are no further comments. Seeing no further comments, are you ready for the question? I'll take that as a yes. Would those in favor of the resolution as amended please raise your green placards? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Did I miss anybody? 13. Those opposed, green placards, 0. So the vote of 13 to 0, Resolution 8 is adopted. You are heartily commended to see me if you're interested in this. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. It's great professional development. It gives you the chance to potentially be involved with some top-notch speakers. It's really a wonderful opportunity, and quite frankly, I don't think it's going to be all that much work. We're not talking about 20 hours a week for this. And then you're done by May. Wonderful. So the next item of business is Resolution 9. Full screen. I recognize myself as author of Resolution 9. So many years ago, not quite 1992, but close, the GPSA and the SA reached an agreement that would be in fall 2006, passing a resolution that set the division in student elected trustee positions, that in even years we would elect a graduate student or graduate students would be eligible to run, and in odd years undergraduate students would be eligible to run. It's worth noting for those of you that don't know that all students are eligible to vote. The change is in who can run. Prior to that, there had been many undergraduates who held the position. Graduate students complained that it wasn't fair. They made some changes, and what happened was then it was all graduate students on the Board of Trustees. So this was the compromise that was worked out. Really, this is a procedural resolution. This has been the way we've done it since the election in 2007. Everybody involved in this that I'm aware of believes it to be a success, believes it better than the alternative, namely that one constituency could spend an entire year without being represented on the Board of Trustees. But the reason for the resolution is that the fall 2006 resolution, cited in footnote 1, calls for a resolution to be passed in the spring of 2011, no, you're not mishearing me, reaffirming this division. That, of course, that didn't happen, so we're cleaning up after ourselves here. We're a year late, sorry, but we're doing it. And with that, if there are questions or comments in formal debate, I'd be happy to entertain them, or anybody else. Of course, Derek Nighthawk Evanson, our wonderful graduate student trustee, is here. Chris Heckman, our wonderful member of the trustee nominating committee, is here. Other people are in the room too. I'm just singling out those two. Nighthawk.
I guess all I would say about it is that this was part of a, give you a little more context, the issue was brought up again, and we remember that it's on the table that we're supposed to be acting on this now, because the Committee on Board Membership, which is neither the students are on that committee, but the other trustees are on that committee, were looking at the issue of student representation on the board in general during this past fall semester, and they decided that it would be a good idea to have more student representation on the board of trustees. And so they've asked now the GPFA president and the FA president to both sit in on all the full board meetings and on specific committees, the board of trustees, including the student life committee and academic affairs committee, which is a great thing to have that representation of the constituent assemblies themselves on board. But then part of this process was to also say that to ask whether the FA and GPFA would reaffirm this. And the position of the Board of Trustees is that if the FA and GPFA reaffirm this, then forever in perpetuity, this will be the means of electing representatives. And if for some reason the FA and GPFA decide not to reaffirm this, it will go back to the old system that existed before, or in fall 2006.
The comments on Resolution 9? Amendments? Motions to lay on the table.
I have a point of information.
Nicole.
So I know we were discussing last semester the idea of having an undergraduate student trustee, and I was just curious if, I guess the changes that you're indicating that of having the constituent assembly representative of 10 board meetings, if that was a response to you.
That was a direct response. That was a direct response to the suggestion by various student groups and students that that there be another representative on the Board of Trustees. Board trustees thought that it would be a lot of red tape through. Yeah, you have to get the state constitution amended if you want to change the composition of Cornell Board of Trustees. They decided not that it wasn't an issue that they wanted to take to the State Assembly and the State Senate. And so they decided, and also due to concerns about representation in other bodies that are represented on the Board of Trustees, whether similar arguments could be made for them having more representation. So now they have the president of the FA, should be FA, in a non-voting capacity, and the votes don't really matter anyway. It's just every single vote I've ever voted on has been unanimous. It'll be useful to have our representative there. Evan attended our student life committee meeting last Thursday.
Virtually. By teleconference. It was wonderful. Apparently I look good in high definition. I mean, I look good all the time, let's be honest.
I was on the receiving end. I was presentable.
Order. Order. Any other comments on Resolution 9? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Seeing no objection, would those in favor please raise your green placards? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 13-0, Resolution 9 is adopted. We move now. We'll do things in a little bit different order because this, I'm going with the flow. Feels good. We'll do open forum now, and then we'll do our breakout session. So Aaron Gensler asked for 5 minutes to talk about thumbnail, and then, of course, we'll take any issues from the floor if there, there are points. Aaron. Questions for Aaron et al. Yevgeny.
You say whatever you want.
Any questions? Or even better, maybe send something to Steve Ahn, our wonderful communications chair. Chris?
Besides the email address, do you all have a website or?
Great. Unless there are further thoughts, let's thank our wonderful presenters. So we have a couple minutes if there are other comments, thoughts, musings, dissections, fetishes for open forum. Sorry. A little intertextuality there. Question?
I actually discovered on the break that there are a bunch of art studios available on campus for Cornell undergraduate and graduate students who are actually the basis of what they're doing talk. And it looks like they have a pottery studio down there. They also have a giant telescope. So if anybody was concerned about closing out the pottery studio last year in school and trade hall, they might be interested in checking out what's actually available for the students.
Don't you have to pay a member of the
fee? Yes, you do have to pay a member.
Do you know what the fee is?
I think it's $50
There was a user fee associated with the pottery facility at Willard Strait as well, I believe.
Would you have to bring your own
supplies? No.
Other comments in open forum or questions for Creston? Seeing none, our final agenda item is a breakout session. So we've of course talked a lot about the Big Red Barn. This is a sort of pie in the sky, musing. Not that there's promises of outcomes or anything like that, but just to generate some discussion to talk about student space. I should say, construe that in the broadest term possible. Sure, physical space, but online community space or whatever. As you've heard many a time in this room, one of the issues that we deal with is how to try and make graduate and professional students feel more connected on campus, because, you know, sometimes it can get a little siloed or tunneled or whatever your noun into verb preference would be. Secondly, we'll have a visit from President Scorton and Vice President Murphy again 2 weeks from today on February 6th. We'll start our meeting with them right at 5:30. So be on time or something. But as a way to maybe make things go, I think, a little more smoothly than last time, I wanted you to think in groups of two or three questions, or of course individually, and then send them to me, or send them to the list or whatever, and I can then ask the questions on behalf of the group. So that lowers the burden. You don't need to feel like there's a pressure on you, or that you're stirring the pot or whatever. I can ask the question from the chair. So we thought we'd try something a little bit different. People have said, why do we always break up by divisions? Let's try breaking up by years. So number of years that you've been at Cornell, first year, second year, third year, and fourth and above. But we need someone to volunteer to be our recording secretary for first years. Crystal is not available. Would someone like to do that? You don't need to be a first year, but you would need to work with the first years. Brett, who is in fact a first year. Wonderful. So, have at it.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.